the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Yes, it's the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Dan again this week. Later on, we'll have David Lloyd's Radio Moments and the news from Roy Martin. But we talk mainly this week about the announcement from Ofcom of 10 trial areas for local DAB. We'll run through where those areas are going to be a little bit later. We'll also talk to the winners of a licence in Manchester. First, though, let's talk to William Rogers, CEO of UKRD. And William, you must be pleased. You've won a local DAB trial area for Cambridge from Ofcom. Good news?
Yes, very good news. It's a great credit to the team who put the application together, both at the station and obviously at UKRD itself. And we're delighted to have the opportunity to take part in this pilot, this experiment and trial, if you like, and just give the opportunity to test the technology fairly robustly as much as possible in one of our locations.
And so there's one of your stations, a couple of community stations and some other things on it as well, is that right?
Yeah, it's expected to be 5 in total, including ours. And we've been working with those other local groups to ensure that we've got a decent fist of stations that can appear on that multiplex for the period of time it's transmitting.
So what are you tangibly hoping to see from the trial, do you think, over the 9 months it's going to be on initially?
I think the fundamental question for us, as I'm sure it is for Ofcom, the government and other people who will be trialling a different range of tests, because there are 3 different types of tests being trialled and we're trialling one of them, is just to test whether or not this is a robust enough technology within the context of how this smaller scale multiplex is operating, and the impact of that, and therefore the possibility of DAB applying more appropriately and effectively to the smaller scale operation. Because, as you know, one of the big criticisms of DAB historically, and it remains the case, is that the areas that DAB multiplexes cover are enormous in comparison to the traditional local radio TSA measured coverage area. So this is an important pilot for us. In my view, 10 to 12 years too late, like a lot of these initiatives. But it's good that it's happening now. And clearly we wanted to get involved because these sorts of multiplexes, not just the one that we're typically developing, but these sorts of multiplexes affect not just our stations, rather typically, but well over 100 other radio stations across the UK. So it's quite an important development, and I welcome it, and I'm pleased that Ofcom have put this out into the domain to get it all checked out.
In terms of the Cambridge area where you're trialling, there's a DAB multiplex that covers Cambridge already, run by Now Digital, which your competitors such as Heart and people like that are on. Was it just not economically viable to ever go on that in the 10 years it's been running?
Correct. Appearing on a multiplex in many parts of the country is a huge multiple of the transmission costs that apply to FM. And as you will know, and other people listening to this discussion will know, many local radio stations across the UK have relatively small transmission areas in terms of the population they serve, and FM has historically been a very competitively priced and effective way of delivering the signal. And in many parts of the country, were we to apply the standard rates that would be charged for going on a much larger service area in terms of a multiplex, they are a multiple of what the FM transmission applies. So not only is it an issue regarding cost, but it's also an issue regarding coverage and the wasted coverage as a consequence of that, and also a shortage of supply of spaces on multiplexes in many parts of the country, which deny the opportunity to some local services from appearing on those multiplexes at a competitive rate. And fundamentally, that's often a difficulty when operators are looking at these costs. In fact, I was chatting to the operator of one radio station yesterday, and DAB has been a crippling additional cost for that local service. And these things are very serious problems for genuinely local radio stations.
So with the trial, Ofcom are obviously providing some of the equipment. It's still going to cost you something, though, is it, to run this?
Yes, of course it is. But I think it's, you know, obviously with Ofcom providing the equipment, there's a bit of a small contribution coming in from the other service providers or the majority of them. But for us as a group, it's worth throwing a few thousand pounds at this just to see how effective it is and what the potential opportunity for us might be if it works. Putting a pilot into the market doesn't necessarily mean that it will do ultimately what it's intended to, but at least as part of this program of pilots, you know, we can give it our best shot, which is what we are determined to do, and then we'll have a better understanding of how effective this is in terms of delivering coverage across an area that is pretty a pretty good reflection of what our radio stations look like in other parts of the country.
When I think I spoke to you about 18 months or so ago, there was a bit of a row going on between yourself and Digital Radio UK, where they were kind of saying, oh, well, it's fine because those local stations will go on this local DAB, which is going to be brilliant. It's taken a little bit of a time to get to where we are now from 18 months ago. Are you pleased with the progress that Digital Radio is making?
I'm pleased that we're now starting to progress, if you take DAB as a specific, because this is not about digital radio. This is about one component part of it. You know, we have to remember digital radio is a much wider issue than just DAB. So you're also talking about, you know, mobile phones, you're talking about television, you're talking about online streaming. So there's a range of digital type delivery. Our criticism of DAB is that it's a strategy that has comprehensively put the cart before the horse ever since it was launched, and that has been our beef. And we're now starting to see the horse put in front of the cart. Now, you cannot launch radio stations into the market if people cannot hear the signal. You cannot launch a program to migrate a system from analog to DAB if there's no capacity and no appropriate coverage. So all of those things, the infrastructure build-out, which is now, thank goodness, at long last happening, all of those things should have been done right from the word go. And they are all self-inflicted wounds. And the industry has shot its foot off toe by toe, as it has over the last 15 years pursued a strategy that sought to put a digital offering into the market that was not infrastructurally delivered effectively and did not take the whole industry with it. So my criticism of the history of DAB stands, and I believe has been absolutely vindicated and confirmed as being correct. That, however, is history. What we are now looking at is the horse being put before the cart. We're looking at appropriate infrastructure build out. We're looking at addressing issues that will cover off the concerns potentially in these trials of smaller local radio stations. And obviously there's a good deal of investment being put into much of the infrastructure that delivers the signal effectively. So this is all good news for the DAB component of digital radio. But it's important to remember that it's one part of it. And it's taken a long time to get this process right. And I'm delighted that it is now happening in the way that it should have happened 10, 15 years ago when we started off on this journey. And had we done this in the right way from the word go, I think it would have saved millions of pounds of costs from the sector, probably thousands of jobs. And it would have ensured that appropriate levels of investment were going into program delivery and marketing rather than propping up transmission systems that in many parts of the country simply didn't work.
And this time next year we'll have another dozen stations with D2 launching. I guess that's partly also why finally with the infrastructure being there and that you've decided to put more of your services on. I mean, with Cambridge you're going to have, I think, six markets now where you operate where you've got a digital DAB offering. That's nearly half your portfolio, I guess, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think the opportunity that we have now to put services on a DAB multiplex, which is going to appropriately serve a wide enough level of audience within our TSAs in a number of parts of the country, is indeed the trigger. And were we in a position where the proper planning of the DAB build out had taken place from the word go, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation now, Stuart, because we would have probably been engaged very positively with DAB 5 to 10 years ago. We're now starting to get engaged with it because the strategy has changed, the direction of policy has changed, and that change of direction and policy is answering many of the questions that businesses like ours had. It just happened that we were prepared to be very vocal and outspoken about it, and in my view, thank goodness that we were, because the zealots in the industry who were seeking conversion and switch over to DAB in 2015 at all costs would have frankly done massive damage to this industry, particularly those of us who were running huge numbers of analog delivered services right across the country. So I think the argument has been comprehensively won, and the case that people like me were making has been vindicated. But that is history, and we now need to move on. And I think we're now in a position where we have the opportunity as an industry to move on. And we are keen to play our part in that, whether it's analog, whether it's DAB, whether it's online, through Radio Player or through our own streaming services, or whether it's through mobile phone apps, which incidentally is actually, interestingly enough, the fastest growing part of our own audience. And I suspect that may well be mirrored, albeit fairly small, may well be mirrored elsewhere. So huge opportunities exist now. And it's a good thing that we're getting this platform right. And this Ofcom trial is an example of getting the horse in front of the cart. And I'm delighted that Ofcom have done this, and very pleased we're part of it. And I hope that it will deliver a positive result, because if it doesn't, then clearly there will be a number of small stations across the country that are going to still face the same difficulties that they were always going to face. And those do need to be addressed.
And just finally, you mentioned that 2015 and the kind of row and the dissatisfaction you had with that date, and that was essentially the reason you left or pulled UKID and at the time TLRC out of Radio Centre, 6 years ago now. You're talking a lot about moving forward, the industry being together. Would you consider going back in Radio Centre if that was the reason you came out and that has now not happened?
Well, I think it's a slightly sort of simplified summary of our position. We left at Radio Centre partly because of the DAB issue, and also partly because it was very clear that our voice was not going to be listened to in a number of policy areas. I don't have any worries about being a part of the trade body, as long as the trade body is genuinely reflected of all component parts of the trade. And I have not yet seen anything that suggests that that is the case. But who knows? We're always open-minded on these things. And whilst at this stage, I think it's unlikely, because I don't see any evidence that the industry trade body has actually changed too much. If it does change and it starts to reflect the interests of all of its members as well as its potential members, and not for me to say, but I was again talking to someone only 2 or 3 weeks ago who has quietly left Radio Centre's membership, not in quite such a fanfare of trumpets as UKID left. But so there's clearly still some issues there. I hope the Radio Centre pulls itself together. This is a very small sector and it needs a strong voice. But I think that voice needs to reflect everybody's interests. And I don't, as yet, see the evidence that that is the case.
Interesting stuff. That's William Rogers, the CEO of UKRD Group, on the Radio Today programme. And, of course, he's one of the winning applicants for a small-scale DAB local radio trial running by Ofcom. The stations and multiplex is expected to start in the autumn, run for 9 months, as well as UKRD in Cambridge with Star, Gadio, Chris Country, Core Radio and Cambridge 105. There are also winning bids from London, which will see stations including Resonance and Rinse FM and London Greek Radio, Glasgow with Celtic Music Radio, Your Radio, Pulse FM, Go Radio, in Birmingham, where there'll be Switch Radio, amongst others, including Touch and Oak there. In Norfolk, Future Radio, Norwich 99.9, Jazz FM, and a few others. Celador have won a licence for Bristol. They'll bring Hub Radio, some community stations, The Breeze and BFBS to Bristol. Brighton and Hove will get Juice 107.2, Radio Reverb, Totally Radio, Resonance. And there's also a BFBS winner in Aldershot, which will also, as well as BFBS stations, bring Radio Woking, Radio Frimley Park and The Breeze. Angel Radio in Portsmouth is number 9 on my list. So local DAB will come to Portsmouth with Angel Extra, Express, Jam, Mango Vibe, The Flash and Triple Hits. And last but not least, Manchester gets some local DAB services courtesy of Niocast Digital. And we can talk to John Evington and David Duffy from Niocast now. Welcome to the Radio Today programme.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Stuart.
And you're just in the midst of setting up a new radio station. Tell us where you are right now. It sounds quite noisy.
But we're in the heart of Manchester, right in the centre of the city, on Deansgate, in the offices of the Greater Manchester Chamber of Commerce. And that's going to be our base throughout the forthcoming 9 months of the DAB trial.
Tell us, first of all, about why you decided to go for a local DAB multiplex.
Well, I think the answer to that, Stuart, is that digital, I think we all recognise digital is the future for radio and also audio content. I think there's a lot more out there that can be brought to the marketplace by opening up radio in this country to smaller operators, multiplex operators. And it was just an exciting opportunity. And I think lots of groups, I mean, it was evidenced by the fact that there were 51 applications for this, you know, for just 10 trials. There is a lot of interest in this, and we were very interested in this, and we were very interested in the opportunity presented by bringing it into a city like Manchester.
And how does it work technically? You get some help and equipment from Ofcom, is that right?
Yeah, Ofcom have equipment for 10 trials. They've broken it down into 3 different trials, type 1, type 2, type 3. Please don't ask me to explain those. We have technical people on hand who can do a good job at that anyway. But we're a type 1 trial, which is one, is basically, there are, I think, 7 type 1 trials across the country. We'll be running one of those. The equipment for all 10 trials is being provided by Ofcom, and we found a very good site here in Manchester, at great elevation, that should get the signal out quite well.
What's going to be on your multiplex?
Well, we're quite excited with the range that we've got. Panjab Radio, who are a long-time broadcaster in this country, they've been on Sky, I think, for 15 years, and they're on a number of regional multiplexes, but they're very keen to get into Manchester. So that's Panjab Radio. Chris Country, that's pretty diverse. That's quite nice to bring country music station into Manchester.
The Greater Manchester Community Station, Gadio, will be on the multiplex. We also have 96.2, The Revolution, which is Oldham and Rochdale's local radio station, Oldham, Rochdale and Tameside, on DAB for the first time. And then we have the Steve Penk Wind-Up Channel, something completely different, and we think it's a unique offering for Manchester. Steve obviously started his radio career in Manchester many moons ago on what was Piccadilly Radio. He's got a massive profile in the city that lives on. And we've been getting a lot of very positive feedback about the prospect of the wind-ups returning to Greater Manchester. And last but by no means least, Manchester Business Radio, which we believe is the first unique business-to-business radio station in the UK.
So that's going to be an all-speech station. I mean, we've seen a lot more speech radio popping up over the last couple of years. There's obviously Share Radio, which is about finance and money and things, which has started on DAB in London. Tell us a bit about what Manchester Business Radio is actually going to do and how it's going to work.
We're really excited about Manchester Business Radio. I mean, everyone's competing on music at the moment. Speech is the format of the future. And as far as Manchester Business Radio is concerned, it couldn't be happening in a better place at a better time. There's so much going on in Manchester at the moment. You know, there's all this talk of the Northern Powerhouse and the development of that. Manchester's right at the epicentre of that. The European referendum, devolution, the city getting an elected mayor in 2017. So many things for us to talk about and reflect on the new radio station.
And what kind of format will it be? So it's all speech all the time and you're talking to the makers and shakers in business in Manchester, yeah?
Yep, it'll be on the air 24 hours a day. Sustainability, we don't see as a massive issue. We've come up with a unique on-air format that combines topical content together with stock features in bite-sized chunks. So it'll be quite a lively listen. Lots happening all the time. Unpredictable.
And these trial licences are for 9 months. I mean, have you had any indication from Ofcom what might happen at the end of the 9 months?
No, I think Ofcom have tried to make it clear to all applicants that the trial was and is for 9 months. However, this road has been trodden before with the precursor for community radio, where they had a number of access stations licensed to trial the concept of community-based radio. And what happened there was, as we all know, they extended that trial considerably to prolong it, to understand it a little bit better. So I think the groups that are investing a lot of time and energy and money in these trials, these 9 month trials, are very much hoping that the trials will have a little bit more longevity.
And it says a lot for digital radio, I guess, with, 60 new local services going to be on DAB in just a few months' time. And then next year we're getting another dozen or so national DAB services. Do you guys, having spent many years in the business, think that we will edge towards switchover as this keeps continuing?
I think, as David said earlier, that the future is clearly digital, and this is, we believe, a wonderful way forward for those small services that couldn't, until now, afford to move towards DAB transmission. So yes, I think this is one of those moments in time in radio that we'll look back on and say that was the start of the future of digital radio.
And David, what do you make of the areas that have been given a trial licence? There's a lot of big cities scattered all over the UK, and we've also then got some large towns as well, but not too many rural areas. Might local DAB in the future work in a rural area rather than a big town, a big city?
I think that's one also for the technical bods, and as I understood it, this trial was going to be... My concern was that this trial was going to be a technical trial, and therefore they would try amongst the 10 to have a real mix of coastal, city, rural. That doesn't seem to have been borne out in the sites that they've chosen, but they've chosen the sites they have for good reason. We're just delighted that Manchester has been chosen, given that they have gone with so many cities.
And do you think something like Manchester Business Radio and some of these smaller services that you're going to offer could have ever worked on the existing multiplex system?
The challenge with the existing multiplex system is that they, as I see it, are owned also by content providers. So there's a real challenge for new entrants to the market to come into play. And I think this has been a significant contributing factor to the slow uptake of DAB in this country. What I'm hoping is that this trial will see an outburst of local DAB across the whole of the country, and an explosion of new entrants, new ideas, and exciting radio for the future.
From the Manchester standpoint, we just think this is great for Manchester. There are some amazingly successful radio stations broadcasting to the city at the moment, and we believe that what we're bringing to the party are new formats that will complement those existing stations. Without threatening them in any way, you know, we think that the outcome of the trial will see a growth in commercial radio as a whole in the city of Manchester.
That's John Ebbington and David Duffy from Niocast, going to be running the Manchester local DAB trial. David Lloyd's Radio Moments coming up very soon. First, let's get this week's news from Roy Martin.
Thank you, Stuart. The big stories this week, of course, are the radio presenters getting major television show contracts. Radio 2 Breakfast Show host Chris Evans is the new presenter of Top Gear. Despite numerous denials, he signed a 3-year deal to do around 18 shows a year, and he starts in March or April next year. Nick Grimshaw, of course, Radio 1's breakfast show host, has taken the job of a judge on The X Factor 2015. He'll start recording much sooner than Chris, though, and he'll be live on ITV each Saturday night in the run-up to Christmas. Good luck to them both. And 10 areas of the UK are getting a small-scale DAB multiplex as a test by Ofcom. Chris Country, Cambridge 105, Touch FM, Oak FM, BFBS Aldershot, the Steve Pink Wind-Up Channel, no really, and Express FM are just some of the services going digital later this year. Good luck to them all. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I am Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, MuseBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
It's exactly a year since we lost Casey Kasem. In the days when there was little music radio, his American Top 40 program was beamed around the world and enjoyed here too.
Hello again and welcome to American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem and I'm all set to count down the biggest hits in the USA. According to the official Billboard survey, these are the records you're buying and radio stations are playing all over.
Farewell, Casey Kasem, this week last year. In 1970, the Conservatives had a surprise election victory. The opinion polls had said that Labour would win. That government was to pave the way for commercial radio in the UK at last. And one offshore pirate station had campaigned for the party.
And the news of the day and of the year, Conservatives' victory over Labour of 30-odd seats. Edward Heath needs now only the official appointment by the Queen and Harold Wilson's declaration of defeat to begin his role as Prime Minister of a Conservative government. The Deputy Conservative leader, Mr. Maudling, suggests that the first task for the Conservative government might be industrial relations and how to improve them.
A bulletin from the pirate station RNI, broadcasting under the Caroline name around the general election this week in 1970. Happy birthday this week to BBC Northampton.
Welcome to BBC Radio Northampton, the new local radio service for Northamptonshire. And on this first morning, Radio Northampton begins its service by inviting you to start the day with John Bynan.
Let's have a look at some of the stories we're going to be dealing with in the programme this morning. We'll be finding out what local anglers got up to in the dead of night. We talk to the Northampton businessman who's just won a multi-million pound overseas order. There's news of a desirable...
And a familiar voice on news duty that morning, 33 years ago.
It's 7 o'clock, this is Roger Mosey. Good morning, the headlines this Wednesday the 16th of June. General Galtieri has...
BBC Radio Northampton getting underway finally this week in 1982. The idea of a station in the area had been floated back in the early 70s. That station's still on air. This one isn't. GB Radio in Newport in Wales. It launched this week in 83.
You see, there's a lot to look forward to, and I'm sure we're going to have some great times together. On VHF, FM stereo, we're at the top of the dial, higher than the rest on 104 metres. On medium wave, you'll find us on 230 metres. And if your radio's marked in kilohertz, KHZ, we're on 1305. Join us from Monday, June the 13th at 6 a.m. Gwent's your place. Here's your new sound.
Gwent Broadcasting in Newport, opening this week in 83. It lasted just 2 years, becoming part of CBC, then Red Dragon, and now Capital. With the 70th anniversary of VE Day fresh in our minds, let's look back to this week in 1940. General Charles de Gaulle famously broadcast from London to German-occupied France to rally the resistance.
These two speeches set up the history of France for the next 4 years. Marshal Petain on the 17th, we are defeated, we will sign an armistice. And then the next day, de Gaulle saying, no, we are not defeated. This is the first battle of a world war in which we can win.
It was an historic and powerful broadcast, but no recordings remain. BBC archivist Marie Slocum.
I gather he came along and he was met by a producer from Bush House and he jotted down some notes on the back of a menu card over a meal and rushed into Bush House and did this first broadcast. We got the second, but we didn't get the very first of all. You see, Bush House was very much last minute.
It's 95 years this week since what was seen as the first live broadcast in the world by a celebrity. That star was Dame Nellie Melba. The legendary Australian performer Dame Nellie Melba with the first live recital by a professional musician, sponsored by the Daily Mail and broadcast by the Marconi Company on the 15th of June 1920. It came from a makeshift studio in Chelmsford using a microphone created by a telephone mouthpiece and a bit of wood from a cigar box. And yes, she was Melba, as in Peach Melba. So with Team Rock Radio launching 2 years ago...
I give you... Team Rock Radio.
The death of Lord Reith 44 years ago.
I had tremendously efficient, imaginative, dedicated assistants in the BBC.
Chris Moyles appearing in The Archers 11 years ago.
Shires, is it?
The BBC Empire Service becoming the Overseas Service 72 years ago.
You're tuned to the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
And EMAP taking over Melody in London, ready for a magic future 17 years ago.
And you're listening to London's Lighter Touch, Melody FM.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David. Some more great memories. And to Roy, thanks for the news this week. And to my guests on the Radio Today programme, talking about local DAB, we heard from William Rogers, the CEO of UKRD, and John Evington and David Duffy from Niocast Digital, who are going to be running the local multiplex in Manchester from the autumn. Thank you for listening this week. I've been Stuart Clarkson, Trevor Dan, back from his holidays with you on this podcast next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.